All right, take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Keep your Bibles out. We're going to use them just a little bit tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. And Nehemiah chapter 4. Verses 6 through 11. We'll read this passage responsively. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come into the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. Father, I sure need you tonight. Help us as we move forward with our church, with our building project, but most of all, help us as we move forward with the church for you. Lord, our job is people, not buildings. Help us to stay focused, please, in Jesus' name, amen. After a long, hard process, almost a little over 2 years, we have begun building on our church building. It is official. I didn't even trust it after the first day. I thought something was going to happen. They started on a Friday. They got one day of tree pulling, and I thought, well, we'll just see what happens Monday. Man, I went out there Monday, and they were tearing out more trees, and they were bringing trucks in and equipment in. And I just got out of my truck and shouted. It was really real. I told my wife, I said, I should be more excited, but I was afraid. Everything we did got stopped, you know, and I was just a little afraid. But we're finally working on a permanent dwelling for our church. And hundreds and hundreds of trees have been removed. Silt fencing's up. We've got our inspection. The pads are going to be starting to be graded this week, and we have officially begun. Now, you're going to say, well, that's all they did? If you saw how much they had to do, trust me, it's been a lot of work to get it to where we're at. Continue to pray for those that work out there. Pray for the weather. I know that sounds kind of funny, but the only thing that'll hinder them right now is rain. So it can rain at night. As long as it doesn't get too soupy, they can work their equipment, but those machines don't work well in mud. It's just not the thing for them to be doing. But I can't tell you how excited I am. I remember seeing that piece of property. Matter of fact, the Barneses are the ones that told me about it. They drove by it. Mrs. Barnes said, Preacher, I don't know. She said, I drive by this property almost every day. She said, never even thought about it. And I went out there and looked at it, and she said, Shazam, there it is. We called and found out how little it really was. It was less for all 4 acres than what we were looking at per acre for everything else. And I said, God wants us to have this. And I went out there and walked that property. I prayed. I saw all the trash and the junk that was out there. Good night. How many of you all remember the trash cleanup day we had out there? Some of you went to the hospital with poison sumac. About 4,273,364 plastic pots. They were everywhere. Brother Barnes and I loaded up tires till we couldn't load up tires anymore. I forget how many. There was over 60 tires there, wasn't there? Something like that. I mean, yeah, it was just amazing. It became a trash dump. I mean, you could have put a sign out front that said Sanford and Son. All right? It was just about that bad. And yet, some of you kept saying, Preacher, are you sure? You think we could put a church there? Well, faith is becoming sight. Amen. And it's not just my faith, it's our faith. Remember that Sunday afternoon we had a service out there on the back of my pickup truck, and Brother Stoltz with his git fiddle? And we had our first service out there on a Sunday afternoon. How excited we were. And we've had a few other services out there. The next service we have out there is going to be in our new building. I'm ready to go, let me tell you. Now, by the way, word is out. Everybody's talking about it. When the banker called me, he said, yeah, he said, people are coming into the bank. They've seen the sign, but they said the church or the bank sign's down. I said, church sign's not bank sign. Is that your problem, not mine? And he said, well, I'll have to get out there. I said, yeah, you need to. But we kind of set it up a little bit yesterday. We'll get it up better for them. But word's out. And let me say this. When we move in, our church is about to experience great growth. I talked to a man this week that's not been in church much at all, ever, anywhere in his life. He said, do you know there's people all over? He said, my dad lives out in that area. He said, you know that whole area of town is talking about your church? I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, yeah, they're just waiting for it to open. They're all going to come. He said, that's a perfect place. He said, you sure your church building is going to be big enough? I said, well, if it's not, we'll have enough people there to pay for another building. I said, I already got building two on the plat, amen? And he said, good thing, because I think you're going to need it. He said, they're talking about it all over out there. And I'm excited. I don't know where they're going to come from, but we'll get them. Now, let me say this. I want us to be ready. I don't want us to grow the wrong way. We have to grow wisely. We cannot change what we are to grow.
Yes,
anybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
We're not in this to have a big crowd. We're in it to please God.
Amen.
We're not in it to have a big church. We're in it to do what God wants done.
Yes, sir.
And that means we've got to do things the right way. Here in the book of Nehemiah, the Jews were about to go back to Jerusalem after the 70 years of captivity and bondage. They needed to rebuild the wall. And I want to give you just about, let me see here. Five statements about this, about how to build God's way. Now, let me say this. We're not going to build man's way. We're building God's way.
Amen.
We're not going to build the modernist way. That's we're going to build God's way.
Amen.
I haven't gone to the mega churches to look at their buildings and fashion our buildings after the mega church. No, I went back to the old men that built churches that were soul-winning institutions, and we're building a soul-winning church, not a modern church.
Amen.
That's good.
We got a people factory. We don't have an entertainment center.
Amen. That's good.
This is going to be church.
Yes,
amen? And I'm excited about it.
Yes,
I have more plans for you and your money and all the your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids than you can even think of. If you only knew some of the plans I have. I was out there talking to the excavator just on Friday. And he said, well, preacher, what about? I said, that 13 acres right there, I'm praying doesn't sell so that the guy gives it to us for tax write-off or at least half of it. He said, you know, that might not be a bad deal for the guy. How much does he want for it? I told him, he said, he's nuts. He said, you tell him you give him 25% of it and he can write off the rest of it. He said, that's a good plan. And I just believe the Lord's going to do something. Amen. You say, what are you going to do with all that? I don't know, but we'll figure out something to do. Amen. We can have a whiz-bang parking lot, that's for sure. We could have a giant tent for church, for all I care at that moment. But let me say this. We've got to grow right. We're going to have a big influx of people, and we can't let them influence the direction of the church. We are the church. Now, we're going to welcome them in, and we're going to teach them the right way to do things, but we're not going to change to get a crowd. I want bigger Sunday school classes. I want more Sunday school classes. We'll have nurseries. We've already designed the nurseries in this building, and you'll have, ladies, you'll have access to water in the bathrooms with the nurseries, and it'll be first class done the right way. I'm for it. I want it that way. I've already got building two on the docket. I've already got phase two of building two on the docket and know what I'm doing with it. I was talking to the guy out there the other day, and he said, do you ever stop? I said, no. I said, I hate to sleep. I said, I've got so many plans for this place. I said, I've walked every inch of this. I've been stuck by every thistle weed out there you can get stuck by. And I just, you got to understand, I want programs for our teens. I've got plans for our teenagers. I've got plans for our junior age kids. I've got plans for our old people. I've got plans for our middle-aged people. I've got plans for young married couples. I've got more plans than you got life. And my wife said, honey, you're going to have to slow down one of these days. You're going to wear out. I said, but I'm not going to rust out. I'm not going to retire. I'm going to retread. Amen?
Amen.
And let me give you five things from God's word about building and how we're going to build. Number one, verse number six said, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. Can I tell you something? Our church has a working mentality. Brother Barnes and I were out yesterday, and I won a man to Christ. He's a working man. He works with Wiley and Brother Stoltz. He was here this morning. Can I tell you something? I told him, I said, I got a whole church full of working people. That's what we are. We're the common people. And we have to have a mind to work, not just physical labor, but listen to me. We have to work the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is people work. So we have to have a mind to work with people. Can I tell you something? We're going to reach people that don't know how to behave in church. If we're doing our job right, don't get upset with them. They don't know. I talked to a man for almost 2 hours this week. He's been to church four times in his life, and he knows nothing. And he's never been in a Baptist church in his life till he came here. He knows nothing. And he said, I'm not being rebellious. I just don't understand any of it. And I said, I gotcha. We'll just take it step by step. And can I tell you something? He's liking it. It's coming. It's not rebellion. Just because he didn't get saved the first time, and you did, doesn't mean he's a wicked old dirty rotten sinner. It means you were too. You're just a little farther down the road. Our work is people, not construction. Did you know somebody's going to come and dirty up the walls and the carpet? Probably you, so don't worry about it. All right? Yeah, buddy. Like I said, before we have our first service, I think I'm going to go in both bathrooms and write on the wall just to get it over with. Say, preacher was here, amen? It doesn't matter. Can I tell you something? That way you can get it out of your system already. Now, I don't believe that we ought to trash the place. And we're going to teach people to pick up their trash. And I think that we ought to pick up our trash. I think we ought to take care of the house of God. But it's not a holy place. It's God's house, and we ought to take care of it.
Right.
We need a mind or a thinking to not get people to come, not just get them to come, but to get them to come back. We're going to need follow-up. We're going to need people to go out and befriend people. That means when they come to church, smile and say, hey, it's good to have you here. Glad you're here tonight. And if they, I'm not talking about you. This was in my notes before we talked this morning. But if they sit in your seat, don't throw bad attitude with them. Go find another one. We were joking about it this morning, so I didn't want her to think I threw it in there for her. Can I tell you something? Your name isn't on the chair. It might fit you a little differently than it fits somebody else, but can I tell you something? It's not yours. Take mine. I don't care. Just come up and sit there. I don't care. I don't sit there long enough during the church service to worry about it. Can I tell you something? I hope the day comes where I've got so many people we don't have room to seat them.
Right. Amen.
Man, by the way, we've got to have a mind to be willing to work with people and be friendly to people. And not only that, not just to get them to come the first time, but get them to come back. Did you know each fish we catch knows where more fish are? It's proven fact. They know where they're... Each one you reach has another sphere of influence. And we're going to capitalize on that. But this means that we all have to get involved. I'm just going to shoot the wad right now. Did you know if we grow to be a couple few hundred, the preacher's not going to be able to handle it all himself, and we're going to have to hire somebody?
Looking for that day.
Yeah, buddy. Brother Mike, I've already started talking to a young man. I got him online. You say, who is it? None of your stinking business. Don't worry about it. I haven't offered him a job. I've just said, would you think about it? Would you pray for it? I said, because about the time that you're ready to get employed, I'm going to need somebody. You say, how do you know that? Because I just believe God's going to help us grow real good and fast. Amen?
Amen.
Then there's going to come a day where we're going to need to hire somebody else.
Yes, sir.
There's going to come a day when I'm going to have to give some of the work over to somebody else. Now, right now, I can handle it. Good night. I know pastors that run what we run. I know a church that has a church our size, and they have about 11 employees. They have a Christian school, and it's all school. And I think, God bless you. I don't want that mess. There's nothing bad about it. It's just, and God bless them. One of their assistants said, well, when are you going to hire an assistant? I said, when I get about 250, 300. You're going to take it all that way? Yep. Don't worry about it. We can handle it. You say, why? Because I know what I'm doing up to that point in time. Past that, going to need some help. Now, I'm going to need everybody's help here, but when we start hiring people, that doesn't mean you start dumping on them. And I'll just go ahead and say this. She's not your secretary, she's mine. Okay? It's not her job to do your work. And if it's church work, call her Monday through Friday, 8 to noon, not see her at church and make her do it at church. Everybody doing okay? I know Secretary's Day is coming up on Wednesday the 25th. Be nice to her. She's my secretary, all right? But past that, she's not your secretary, all right? God knows she does more work in 20 hours a week than most people in a church as a secretary does in 40 hours. And thank God for it, but everybody's got to get involved. That means I'm going to need people to volunteer to come clean the buildings. Do you know who cleans the buildings now? I run that vacuum all the time. I come in here early on Sundays and Wednesdays, make sure the bathrooms are cleaned up enough for y'all to be in them. I'm not afraid of that, but the day's going to come where I'm going to be too busy to clean potties and sweep floors. And my job's going to be more important to reach people than it is to make sure that everything's picked up. We're going to need people to volunteer to do that. Everybody doing all right? Now, don't volunteer now. I can handle it, all right? There's not that much here to do right now. There's so many chairs taking it up. You got to be half contortionist to get that stupid thing in and out of them rows all the time. But reaching people needs to be on our minds all the time.
Amen.
Who can we reach next? Each family reach a family. Who can we reach next? Who can we reach next? Who can we reach next? And not only who can you reach next, but who can you get to reach another family? Multiply your work. Number two, I got to hurry. So number one, the people had a mind to work. Number two, look at verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Everybody look at me. Did you know right now we're excited, but I know somebody who's not? Old smutty face isn't going to take this laying down. Just so you know. He's fought us each and every step of the way thus far. What makes you think he's going to stop now? So we need to pray for God to protect us from evil. Now, you can't stop evil from coming, but you can pray for a protection of evil so that the evil doesn't affect us as badly. Did you know we're going to reach people who come in? I call them Roman candle Christians. They're going to come in and wow you and pizzazz you, and then all of a sudden, they're going to fizzle out. It happens all the time. You might think they're next thing, greatest thing to slice bread. And you're going to find out it's moldy on the inside. Don't get disappointed. It's coming. You're going to see somebody come in and wow a group of people and take them out of our church and go somewhere else. It happened before. It'll happen again. It's been happening for 2,000 years. Nothing new. It's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt you at times. But may I say this, get ready. It's coming. Pray that we can keep the evil away. You say, how do we do that? Just keep beating the devil and twisting his whiskers. I probably shouldn't say this, but add it to the list. Brother Mike, it's kind of like General George Patton. His philosophy of war was this, grab him in the nose and kick him in the pants. And that's kind of what we're going to have to do with the devil. grab him by the face and kick him good and hard. Amen. Pray to keep evil out of the way. Pray to build on what we have. Not to improve it, but to have more of it. Pray for each other to stay spiritual. Some of you think you're spiritual. You're about to find out whether you are or not. Do you know how dangerous it is to move a church from one place to another? We've done it. 1, 2, 3, 4. This will be our fifth move in 6 years. Think about that. It'll be our sixth move fifth move in 6 years. We were in two different hotels. We were in the IRS building. We've been in this building, and then we'll be in the new building. That's five times in 6 years-ish. That doesn't happen. I know churches that lose 3/4 of their church if they move down the street and around the corner. You say, why? Because, well, we went to this place for so long, I'm not changing where I'm going. Okay, don't change. But I'm moving without you. Here we go. Now, wait a minute. Pray that we stay spiritual. And I know we don't have a problem with this, and this is why we don't have a problem with it, but nobody's going to start their own little clique of people. Did you know when we get more than one bus, not if, when, one bus isn't going to be better than another bus, but you ought to think your bus is the best bus route, but they're all important. Do you know if you work with the teenagers and you don't work in junior church, that junior church isn't more important than teens and vice versa? They're all important. They're all God's people and they're all God's kids, and we got to take care of all of them. All of them are important. Let's not get into these little, this Sunday school class is better than this class, and this is more important than that. None of them are more important. They're all important. We're not going to have our own little cliques. Everybody understand that? I'm getting you ready for it. Here we go. I love you. May I say this? I need some of you to step up because you're going to be the teachers of the new people coming in. I need some of you to be willing to step up and say, I'll do it. Did you know when we reach more families, we're going to have need for more nursery workers? And I need people to be willing to step up. Pray that God sends us people that are able to do some work eventually and to help us with this. God says, pray therefore laborers into the harvest. Right. Don't just pray for the harvest, pray for workers too. Pray for God to send us some people that are have a little experience in church work and that are maybe ready to go and help us. Everybody doing all right? That's a scriptural thing. I got to hurry. By the way, I think we ought to pray for the workers who are working on our property, if they're not saved, to get saved. Amen. You say, well, if we're not allowed to get out and talk to them, how are they going to get saved? I'm allowed to get out and talk to them. We'll get them. Don't worry. They're going to have a real big invitation for the first Sunday. Our first Sunday is going to be strawberry jam packed. I mean packed. I know a man, the man that gave us, Mr. McMillan, who's given us just generously over $160,000. He's flying, he and his family here from Indiana in his own plane, flying into Martinsburg to be here for the opening service. He just needs, he said, just give me a couple of weeks' notice and the date and the time. He said, I'll be there. He said, I'll fly my family in. He's flying his own plane. He wants to be here. He's showing that stupid video of me rolling in the mud to God knows who else. Lord have mercy. We ought to pray for people to be saved that work on our property. Number three, next thing that they did, verse number 18, we did not read it. Chapter 4, verse number 18, for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side and so builded. Can I tell you something? You're going to have to keep your sword at your side. That's your sword. Actually, that's my switchblade, amen? That's my sword, that's my switchblade. I keep it in my pocket. did you know, and you can read this later, but in the book of Nehemiah, the workers, they had a trowel in one hand, they had a sword in the other, and they had a trumpet attached to their waist. The trumpet was to blow a warning that there was a problem there. They had a trowel to work with, and they had a sword to fight with. But they kept working while they had their sword and their trumpet. Can I tell you? A church needs all three. You need swords, you need trowels, and you need trumpets. A church that's all work and no warning, watch their young people go to the devil. They have no standards. They work hard, but they don't warn anybody about what sin does to them. That's your community church. Everybody doing okay? Churches that only warn usually chase everybody off, and everybody's all freaked out and doesn't want to come back. And churches that only fight, you know what they're like. Man, they're great at fighting on sin. I know some preachers. Every once in a while, if I feel like I'm just getting a little soft, I know who to plug in. They give you a good ride for a sermon or two, but you couldn't take a steady diet of it. Now, everybody listen to me. Our church needs all three. We need swords, we need trowels, we need trumpets. We need to work, we need to fight, and we need to keep the warning going. I'm not going to keep warning our young people not to go into sin. We're going to preach that way. That's part of the work. But at the same time, we're not going to get off the streets and quit soul winning just to start warning everybody. Our job is reaching people. We've got to reach people. We're not supposed to quit our Sunday school classes and quit working in the nursery and quit doing the work for God that we're supposed to do just because we're afraid of something. No, we're supposed to keep it all going all at the same time. We must all work, we must all warn, we must all fight. It's as we work, we do all this. You don't stop working to warn. You don't stop working to fight. You keep working while you do all those things. Boy, that's a good statement right there. So, every man had a sword by his side. Next, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse number 3. The Bible says, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" Listen to this statement. We are doing a great work. We should not come down.
Yes, sir.
We are doing a great work. We should not come down. Notice it doesn't say, I'm thinking about doing a great work. Notice it doesn't say, I'm wanting to do a great work. It says, I'm doing a great work. Folks, you can have all the want to you got, but if you don't do anything with the want to, what good was the want to? You can think about work all you want. I know a lot of people that think about it and roll over and go back to sleep. Good night. This week, no lie, we had an employer in the area here that called our church and said, if you know anybody that needs a job, let us know. I'm glad our church is known for people to call and say, I need a job. Now, Ellen, it wouldn't be one you want, trust me. All right? But it was a fast food place. But at least they had enough sense to call somebody that taught their people how to have character.
Amen.
I thought, I'm not sure I'd even go eat there, but I was impressed that they knew who we were. Sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. You know, we're not supposed to come down and be like the world with our church. The trouble with most religion today and most modernist churches today, they're so much like the world and so little like God. They've come down from doing the work of God to come down to reaching man. No, we're supposed to reach man God's way. We're supposed to bring man up to God, not bring God down to man.
Right.
My job is not to come bring God down to you. My job is to bring you and pull you up to God and say, get up there. Everybody doing okay? Too many churches are milk toast and just a bunch of spaghetti noodle backbone wimpy places. Good night. I thank God that when our men come to church, when they grab a hold of your hand, you grabbed a man's hand, not some spaghetti noodle. I'm glad we got men that know how to be men. I'm glad I can walk out to a worksite, Brother Mike, dressed like this, walk up to a man working in equipment that's been working all day, sweating all day, dirty, reach my hand out, and they say, "Oh, no, preacher, I'm dirty. Grab my hand. It's made out of dirt, too. Don't you worry." And they'll look at you. They're almost afraid to grab my hand. Grab a hold of that thing, and they're like, squeeze back. No lie. I did that to a couple of the men out there. And then there, a couple days later, there's some other guys that were there working. And one of the first guys I met, he said, "Come here, guys. You got to meet the preacher. Shake his hand." I'm not lying. And the one guy said, "Man, I ain't never met a preacher that knew how to shake hands like you." I said, "Well, you met one that's finally a man, doesn't wiggle when he walks, and I don't wear a dress when I preach."
Right. Yeah.
He said, "You know why I left a church that had a woman that got called as the pastor?" I said, "I'd have left too." He said, "You're different." I said, "Come see me. Here's one of my cards." Gave him a tract. I said, "I got a whole church full of men just like you. Trust me." He said, "You got men in your church?" I said, "I got men in my church. Not three old codgers, two draft dodgers, and a one-legged man." I said, "I got the three old codgers for sure." Now, wait a minute. I'm not looking at this side of the room, all right? Not a bit funny, amen? Getting personal over there. Now, wait a minute. We're doing a great work. Why should we come down to be like the world? I need many of you to quit stepping down and start stepping up. I need you to start stepping up in standards so that you're able to do the work. I need some of you ladies to start dressing right so I can use you in the nursery and start using you in Sunday school. Somebody say amen. All right, here we go. Yeah, there you go. That was the ugliest woman I ever saw. Help us. Yuck. I need junior church workers. We're going to need choir members. I need you dressing right so that we can get you stepped up into that. We don't have time to wait on you. I need you to do it now. We're not supposed to step down and be like the world. We're supposed to step up and be like God.
Yes, sir.
And for us to reach people, if they can go to church and be like the world, what difference was it? They're not coming here to get the world. They're coming here to get something the world doesn't have to offer.
Amen.
Talked to a man this week, and he said, "I've only been in four churches in my life." He said, "That's the first place I've ever been to where it's like," he said, "I hope this doesn't sound weird, but that's like family there."
Amen.
I said, "Nope, that was a compliment." He said, "It is?" I said, "It is." He said, "I thought I was going to say the wrong word." I said, "No, you did fine." He said, it was, he said, "Maybe this isn't a good word, but it was real." I said, "Nope, that's the word we're looking for."
Yes, sir.
I said, "We're not playing church, this is church."
That's good.
We can't step down to evil. That means let's not gossip.
Right.
Not talk about it, not listen to it.
Right.
Not do it on Facebook. We're not supposed to be destroying people. Right. We're not to have bitterness against anybody. Is there anybody in this world you would not want to come to our church? If there is, you have bitterness in your heart.
Reach
on.
My worst enemy could walk through that door and I'd reach out and shake his hand.
Amen.
I'd say, "Welcome here." I'm not going to give him the microphone in the pulpit. He's going to get preached to like everybody else.
Yes, sir.
But I'd reach out and shake his hand and welcome him here. I'm not going to have him teach Sunday school next week either. There'd have to be a proving time. You know, a rattlesnake can bite you and you can forgive it, but that doesn't mean you're going to have to go back and pick him up again. We don't need to be best buddies with people who do things who have changed. People that are going a different direction. Folks, can I tell you something? People that go a different direction spiritually, stay away from them. Just distance yourself. You don't have to know all they're doing. Quit being a busybody about it. You don't need to know everything that they're doing. Just get focused on doing what God has for us with our work. Amen? Boy, that's good stuff. We can't come down to the modernism and liberalism. We're not going to change our music.
Amen.
We're not going the modern way with music.
Amen.
We're not going to syncopate all the music, and we're not going to rewrite the hymns to not even be able to recognize them because they've changed all the timing and syncopation to it and everything else. I hate that junk. We're not going contemporary Christian music.
That's good.
We don't do any music in our church that isn't at least 25 years old and proven first. The only way that's different is if somebody I know personally or that Brother Stoltz knows that I know that has written a song that's worthwhile, like a Kathy Coral or someone like that, that I trust their doctrine. But by the way, we don't do it till I've listened to every bit of it. You say, why? Because I've been around church way too long. There are certain songs in the songbook I won't sing because they're not doctrinally right. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
All right. We're not going to change our standards. We're not going to be a showy church. This is, you're not to come to church for a performance. We're not going to have an Easter, not the sunrise service. What do they do with the pageant or whatever they call that thing? No, not cantata, but play, drama. Good night. This isn't Sight and Sound. A bunch of Amish people. You say, well, I've been there. Yeah, and it's not doctrinally right either. I hate to tell you, Amish people have bad doctrine. It's work salvation.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'm not against you going. I'm just not going to sponsor a group of people going there. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Did I say something I shouldn't have said? Because, man, it's getting really quiet in here. But church isn't supposed to be that way. Folks, our world has enough entertainment with television and their stupid cell phones and iPads and computers and everything else. They don't need to come to church to be entertained.
Amen.
We're not going to have Johnny Cash in. Yeah, if we do, I'm leaving, amen? Mm-hmm. We're not here to have entertainers. We're here to have God come down. I got to hurry. Number five. Chapter 6, verse number 11. Bible says, and I said, this is Nehemiah, should such a man as I flee. Everybody listen to me. It's going to get hard. Don't run, stay. Sometime I'm going to say something that tweaks your whiskers. Just hang in there. It'll be all right. Just stay. You know, I wouldn't want to go to church where I felt good all the time. Because then I don't need it.
Right.
If you don't feel like the Holy Spirit's working on you, you ought to get to the altar real fast. I wouldn't want to go to a church where the pastor's got to pat me on the head and rub me on the tummy and burp me on the back. Every once in a while, you just need to throw a fit. Stay when things get hard. Guess what? Anybody that's been in our church a year or two, you've experienced this. You've had friends that have come and gone. All of a sudden, they're gone. You say, what happened? I don't know. Most of the time, they don't tell me. They just leave. Honestly, I ask them. They say, oh, we won't tell you. We're just, okay. Obviously, it's not something doctrinal. Or they think they're going to change me, and I'm not changing.
Amen.
Sorry. I love them. They're welcome to come back.
Yes,
I'd love to have them back.
Amen.
But when things get tough, stay.
Amen.
Just get rooted in.
That's good.
Just stay. Brother Mike, I learned a whole lot this week. I was watching that guy. There was a tree that grew in a rock break out there. He had to pull that thing out. He had that old bucket, and he's digging big old giant rocks out. I mean, they were about 6 foot long, about 4 or 5 feet thick. Just big old giant rocks. He's prying those things in and out. He'd grab a hold of that tree and just pulled it right out by the roots. He said, I had to loosen up the hard rock first. Grew through the rocks. Man, that's like working with people. Got to bust the rocks out. That's the kind of tree I want to be. Make the guy work to get me out of there. He shall be, I thought of Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
That's good.
Not going to let a little bit of water running over, washing the dirt away. Just let the roots go down a little bit deeper. Sink your roots in. It'll be all right, I promise you. Don't run away when threats come. Well, I hate to tell you, when you preach like I do, there's going to be threats coming. The LGBTQ people may protest our church someday. The newspaper and the news media may someday not be kind to us. Probably most of the time. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Don't run away when casualties happen. When people make mistakes and mess their lives up. Can I tell you something? It's going to happen.
Yes.
And let me just say it. We're going to hire somebody someday that makes a mistake. Let them be a sinner and it's okay.
Yep.
I'm not planning on them making a mistake. And I don't know who it is. He said, I haven't even have a staff to even think about hiring yet. But may I say this? Somebody's going to make a mistake. I may have to fire somebody someday because of that mistake. Don't let it cause you to get out of church. If your faith is in that person, your faith is not in the right place. I don't care if it's the man of God himself. That book didn't change. I'm just as much a sinner as everybody else is. Just ask my wife. By the way, don't run when others you thought would be strong turn and run. I've watched a lot of people that I thought were strong that have changed. I got disappointed in them, Brother Mike. They want nothing to do with me anymore, and I didn't do anything but what they taught me to do. I'm doing the very thing they taught me to do. Now I'm the bad guy. Well, they changed. I didn't. Just decide, as long as the doctrine is right, you're going to stay and build. If I get up and say the King James Bible is not the Word of God, leave. If I get up and say you got to do works to get saved, leave. But past that, as long as we're right doctrinally, just stay. It'll be all right. You say, well, I have a question. Well, come see me in private. We'll talk about it. So let me restate these five things. One, people had a mind to work. Number two, they prayed to God and set a watch. Number three, every man had his sword by his side. Number four, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Number five, I got it right that time. Should such a man as I flee? That was the one I was working on. Let me finish with this. Chapter 6, verse number 15, my favorite verse in the entire book of Nehemiah. So the wall was finished. So the wall was finished. You say, what was the wall there for? Their freedom. Their protection. This is for our freedom, our protection. We've been in this building, 2 years, and it'll be 2 years in May. Am I correct? That is, that's roughly $50,000 we've paid in rent. A little over $50,000. In the next 2 years, we can take that $50,000 and apply it to that.
Amen.
Everybody see where we're headed? Did you know our payments are going to be less than $1,000 a month difference with this than it is where we're renting right now? That's why we've done it this way. We're not building a palace. Somebody told me just in the last couple of weeks, Shepherdstown building a new library, 6,000 square feet, costing them $2.3 million. We're building a 6,000 square foot building for under $750,000. It wouldn't be hard to go into debt that far. For some, it is for me. Our loan's $620,000. I know people that have bigger home loans than that. I'm not being unkind, but I know people that have homes that are their home loans that big. Now, I can't imagine that. I don't live at that level. I don't want to live at that level. But it's all right. You know, it doesn't have to go the way of the world. May I say this? I don't know when I'm going to die. I hope not very soon. But the day comes where you have to find a new pastor. Can I tell you something? Find somebody that preaches this way, the right way. Don't go for one of these modernists. Don't go for one of these California boys. These West Coast people bringing their showiness to fundamentalism and drowning out real fundamentalism with modernism.
Yes, sir.
There are people that you shouldn't be around or listening to.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
But let me say this. Let's finish the work we started. Let's do it God's way. And it'll all be okay. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done.